Grace to you from Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, our Savior and our Lord. 50 years in ministry. Looking back, it doesn't seem possible. Let me tell you a little bit about our class. We were the first class allowed to be married when we got to the seminary. And there were more children in the class than single guys when we graduated. We were very productive physically. Looking back, my prayer is that by the grace of God, we were also productive spiritually. I want to share with you this morning something that has become very meaningful in my life, and as I talk with my classmates, in many of theirs also. The journey as a ministry involved in serving people is a journey in discipleship. A disciple is one, as defined by the Greek word mathete, is an intentional learner who learns by inquiry and by observation from a teacher so that they can be a proponent of the teacher and his teaching. We are to be disciples of Jesus Christ. Now a little bit about me. Not proud of this necessarily, but it's true. I spent more time at the seminary in the field house than I did in the library or in my studies. But it's interesting, as I look back, my journey in discipleship started in a significant way in the field house. Under the influence of a man that some of you will remember, you younger people will not, Coach Pete Peterson, a disciple of Jesus Christ who lived out his faith. I had no idea at that time what that impact would make on my life. But it started me on a journey that, as I've talked with some of my classmates, might be described as a journey from membership to discipleship, or another of my fellow alumni said maybe a journey from justification to sanctification. And on that journey, God placed people in my life who made a difference. Significant people. Those of us who have been in ministry for a long time, those of you that are just moving in that direction, our journey needs to be a journey in discipleship. That one who serves in ministry needs to be on the discipleship journey, as well as, by the grace of God, helping others enter that discipleship journey. How critical is it? I think it's extremely critical in this day and age, in our culture. I'm not going to quote a theologian this morning, but I'm going to quote someone who I think has a good handle on what's going on in our culture and what role the Christian church plays in that. Cal Thomas, one of the most popular syndicated columnists of our time and has been for the past 35 years, also a Christian. And by the way, if you want to really read about his perspective on the role of the Christian disciple in this culture, look him up online. I was very intrigued because I simply had this quotation from him, and then I read more. What a significant perspective he has on the journey to discipleship that all of us must be on and help others to join that journey. Here's what Cal Thomas said. The problem in our culture isn't the abortionists. It isn't the pornographers or drug dealers or criminals. It is the undisciplined, undiscipled, disobedient, and biblically ignorant Church of Jesus Christ. Now, you don't have to agree with Cal Thomas, but I think it's a critical way to look at where we are in our world today. What does it mean to be on that journey of discipleship? I want to share with you specifically from the words of Jesus this morning. You heard one of his words already in our reading from Matthew 28. But I want to share Jesus' teaching about three critical aspects of your discipleship journey and the journey that God would have us all encourage others to take. The first is that on that journey, we realize that we are disciples totally by the gracious action of God in the saving work of Jesus Christ. It's not anything that we have done. It's not our academics. It's not our ability to advance ourselves. It is by the grace of God. Jesus taking our sin upon himself, dying in our place, and in that act of great love, undeserved love, those who connect with him are his disciples. Jesus said, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's what puts us on that discipleship journey. God's grace in Jesus Christ. But when we're on that journey, what should it look like? Jesus also says in Luke 9, verse 27, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Our appreciation for the gracious act of God in Jesus Christ is reflected in our worship, but it's also to be reflected in our lives. Jesus doesn't want us to just know about him. He wants us to follow him. And he wants us to emulate him. And he wants us to reach out to others with the love he has given to us. It's not just membership. It's discipleship. It's a way of life. It's a lifestyle. That began to change for me in the seminary field house. I remember my fellow students who were down there in the field house with me saying that at that time, the St. Louis Hawks had the field house as their practice court. And Coach Pete would not allow any bad language. And the word was out that the St. Louis Hawks probably had the best language in the NBA. And I believe that's true. But he lived his life and he was respected for it, even by people in that realm of life. So we appreciate the gracious act in Jesus Christ that put us on the discipleship journey. But how does that journey continue? My second point is that we are nurtured on that journey by word and sacrament. Now, that's kind of a catchphrase that we throw around a lot in our theological institutions and in our synod. But what does it really mean in our lives? Jesus said to the Jews who were kind of checking him out, to the Jews who had believed in him, and the concept is that they were just kind of hanging on loosely. He said to them, if you abide in my word, and perhaps we could say the written word and the visible word in baptism and the Lord's Supper, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. For the early years of my ministry, I excused my personal relationship with Jesus Christ in His Word by saying that I was in His Word when I prepared sermons and Bible studies. I learned that wasn't enough. I needed a personal walk with Him in His Word on a daily basis. The disciple on that journey will be nurtured and growing in that discipleship continually. For those of us sort of on the last end of our ministries in retirement, we still are on that discipleship journey. We are still to be in His Word on a daily basis, to be growing in that discipleship. And those of you who are in the last stages of preparation for your ministry, you too will need to be growing in that personal relationship on a daily basis. The third thing I want to share with you is that that discipleship journey gives us meaning and purpose in life. I read a recent survey that was taken in England among 16 through 29-year-olds, and 89% of those who were surveyed said that life has no meaning or purpose. Now, you can probably extrapolate that that's in England. Some who are theologically oriented commented on that survey, and they said that they believe that the reason is the decline of Christianity in England. Now, I don't know what the percentage is in America, but I'm guessing it's probably not a whole lot different than that. Now, certainly purpose and meaning in life is developed by a materialistic, hedonistic world, a world where people can give purpose and meaningfulness to their lives by being recognized and being famous, or by pursuing material things, or even hedonism, the pursuit of pleasure. And they might say, that's my purpose in life. But if you want real purpose in life that has a significance beyond this life, join the discipleship journey. Again, Jesus says in Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light so shine among others that they will see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. The purpose of the disciple life is to bring glory to God, not to us, not to our church body, but to God, who in grace sent His Son Jesus Christ to make us His disciples. That purpose is one that is absolutely critical and has eternal significance. And we are on that journey with that purpose, to give glory to God. But there's one other aspect of that. Going back to our reading for today, what's our purpose? To serve the saved? Certainly. But to make disciples of all nations. Many years ago, I ran across a little item in Reader's Digest. Now, many of you don't even know what I'm talking about when I mention Reader's Digest. And it's a story I have used down through my ministry because it had such an impact on me. And it's a story that's kind of hard to tell, but what I have done, I have updated it a little from back there in Reader Digest days. Pastor got up and said, I have 3 points to my sermon this morning. The first point is, while we are here, 156 people per minute are being added to to the population of the world. Second point of my sermon is 104 of those people per minute, according to present percentages, will die and go to hell without Jesus Christ. And the third point of my sermon is, you don't give a damn. And you're more upset that I said damn than that 104 people per minute are dying and going to hell without Jesus Christ. That's the journey we're on. And in our world, all statistics show that is becoming less moral, less Christian all the time. And you and I have the message that can make the difference. I thank God that I've been on that journey. I thank God with you who are on that journey. And I pray that if you aren't on that journey now, you'll get on it. And that your purpose in life will be to your family, to your friends, and to all ethnics, the whole world, to make disciples for Jesus Christ through His Word and by the power of the Spirit. Join me on that journey. May the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. I have to say something about the next hymn that we're going to sing. My classmates, I assume, will remember this. Dr. Martin Franzmann wrote this hymn in 1969. And our class sang it as a part of the first introduction to the church at our graduation ceremony. Join me as we sing Thy Strong Word. And I'd like to suggest that we stand as we sing, if you can.